Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Off to Neverland.
Take a start of the right and stay until morning. Neverland.
Good morning, Neverland!
Sorry, I think I became an adult there for a second there. Sorry, pardon me there. But this is Jeremy of the Spider Panda of the Neverland podcast, and this is episode 101. They probably couldn't even understand me saying that.
Probably not.
Yeah, well, and who are you?
I'm Heather the Windy Nerd.
Yeah, well, yes. Gotta get you to introduce yourself. Okay. Well, of course, welcome, of course, to take your pixie out of your pocket, sprinkle some of that pixie dust around, grab your happiest wah-wah.
Wah-wah-wah.
Not like that. That's bad news there. That's like giving a book report or something. I don't know. But we've got a wonderful time here for the Neverland podcast. It's going to be... There is some Disney connection in here, and you're going to hear about it. There is some Disney connection in here, but we're going to talk a bit about Peanuts today. The show's not quite going to go the way I had originally planned to do it. In fact, you'll hear in the recording we have me planning, you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to edit this in later. But really, I talked about everything we wanted to talk about that I had planned in this conversation that we have with Lost Boy Philip. So, you'll hear me mention, oh, well, I'll edit that in later. And I just left it in there because, you know, I'm just, it's a fun conversation, so I'm just going to leave it alone. And so I think you're going to enjoy it. But, yeah, so we got to see the Peanuts movie.
It was good.
Yep. And, of course, we'll have the review, and we'll talk about some memories, and share some special audio there at the end. So, strap in your whatevers, I don't
kite.
Know. Yeah, strap, grab your kite or something and try to fly it. Here we go.
Like the shadows of the morning, to climb up to the August afternoon, Charlie has a way of picking up the day just by walking slowly in a room. Maybe it's a kind of magic that only little boys can do. But seeing Charlie smile can make you stop a while and get you feeling glad you're you. A boy named Charlie Brown. He's just a kid next door, perhaps, or a little more. He's every kid in every town. Well, the world is full of lots of people. Here and there and all around. But people, after all, start out as being small. And we're all a boy named Charlie Brown.
All right, so now we have Lost Boy Philip in here with us.
Hello.
So, of course, now we have to talk about this movie that just came out now. We have a little bit of a review. We'll let you start first. Let's just go. I don't know that I'm that talkative right now.
We're talking about the Peanuts movie, right?
Yes, the Peanuts movie, because we'll have been talking about it this entire show up to this point.
Oh, I see. That's good. See, folks, I'm just joining the crew.
Yep, you're just joining in, and this will be edited all together. And
I absolutely, listening. Absolutely loved the film. I loved it. I felt like I was watching the comic strips and cartoons of classic days all put together in one big, beautiful feast of Peanuts bliss for me.
It was a real peanut butter.
It was. I loved it. I loved it. It was great. It really was. It had the classic Schultz humor, and it was clean. Mm-hmm. The adult humor they had was actually cleverness instead of anything else, and I liked that.
Just like Peanuts was.
That's right. It was wonderful.
They could talk about grown-up things in a kid for fashion.
Which is what it was anyway. It was Charles Schultz. It wasn't his childhood, but it was close to. You know,
yeah.
He didn't have a sister or anything. But it was basically his combination of memories of his childhood with neighbors and things. Like, the Van Pelts really did exist, you know?
Yeah.
So, that I thought was fun.
Oh, yeah. And what do you think?
I really liked it. It was, I liked that it was G, and it was really, you know, a G-rated, but it was, everybody in the family could love it. Like, you could bring your little kids, and they would enjoy Snoopy and all the funny little things that went on. You could bring adults, and there were quite a few adults in our particular showing.
And yeah, I think almost more adults than kids, and adults just coming as adults, because like, oh, look, I love Charlie Brown!
And like Phil said, it was clever, and you know, as an adult, you enjoyed it, and it was just a really, really good movie, and you know, you kind of get to see some things that maybe you have always, as a fan of Peanuts, hoped to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, weren't really sure if it was ever going to happen for him. So they did a real good job of sticking to what you are familiar with Peanuts from specials on TV and the comics, while giving the fans a little bit of what they really want, you know, really hoping that would happen.
Yeah. And I like the way that as I've been spending some time today actually watching a couple of the old movies. Because the actual first Peanuts movie is 1969, A Boy Named Charlie Brown. So I watched that
movies,
one.
Yes.
Those were actual theatrical releases.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
And Snoopy Come Home from 1972.
Sherman Brothers were involved.
Sherman Brothers did Snoopy Come Home. That's right. Boy Named Charlie Brown was Rod. I can never say his last name. It's like K-E-U and whatever.
Stuart. No, I'm kidding.
But it felt like I had been reading the comic strip for a while. Because you had one main story that had been going on. So say like when you're reading a comic strip, you know, if you were to read it weekly or whatever, or if you ever, you know, buy a book collection, there could be one overriding story that may take a month or something. Mm-hmm. But every week is a different part of that story that is its own collected story. And the movie is set up in the same fashion. You have a big overall plot that's going over a long period of time, but it's like you got some mini stories of what's going on and what Charlie Brown is doing concerning the main story of things. Because, of course, the little red-haired girl showed up and, of course, completely alters his whole world. And so you have, like, many stories of different ways that he's trying to be noticed.
Yeah. I think we all boys back in the day, and girls too probably, but all boys can definitely, you know, relate to that. There's that girl
that must be
in the
impressive classroom.
Yes, and I guess one thing I've always loved about Charlie Brown and all the characters of the Peanuts gang is that I connect with most of them. I won't say all of them, but most of them. I think Charlie Brown, almost every guy can relate to a little bit. I can relate to Linus not being smart, but, you know, having a habit. His being the blanket. Mine being Mountain Dew or whatever else it could be.
Yeah.
But then there was a Pigpen. I always felt like Pigpen, no matter what.
Really?
No matter how much I tried to be organized, my room always looked horrible. No matter how much I tried to get my hair to look good, it always looked awful. And so Pigpen and I are way too relatable. Just way too relatable.
Yeah, I'm somewhere between Linus and Charlie Brown, maybe closer to Linus with the having, because he has the wise and smart things that come out of him, but yet has such an insecurity that he has to have that blanket, and he just loses it without it. And yeah. I feel like I'm probably that level of insecure, but yet, like Charlie Brown, I feel like everything I try to do falls apart.
Yeah, well, and I love the grape. Anything, any kind of pumpkin treat is great to me.
So exactly.
I love the grape pumpkins.
And that's the thing with it. Another similarity to Linus is like, I'm probably a little bit crazy.
Now, I don't think the only character I could think of right away that didn't show up is Rerun, which I was okay with.
Right.
Only because Rerun, in my opinion, is a little too close to Linus. Not the same personality necessarily, but they look so much alike, except for the fact he doesn't have as long as hair going down.
Yeah, and he's younger.
Younger,
and they kept him at a toddler.
Yeah, they keep him in overalls and all that, but besides that, but I was kind of glad they didn't put him in there, even though I like him. I almost thought that little stranger kid was almost Rerun Line.
Almost, yeah. The and he was just labeled in the credits as little kid.
I like that Frida was in it, the original redhead.
Yeah, Frida.
Frida. I like that the original Patty was in it.
Right, the original Patty there. And actually, I gave her a little extra storyline there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
Minor storyline. And Shermie did make some appearances.
Yeah, I love Shermie.
They had a voice for him, but I never remember him saying anything, which was the way he was.
In the hallway, he said a few little things.
Oh, just part of the crowd, probably. Yeah. Which is kind of the way Shermie is in the animated specials and movies. Shermie might be there, but he probably won't get to say anything.
Yeah, I'll say too often.
Which is weird because, you know, I've gotten to read a couple of the books from the library where they have some of the collected from like 1950s.
Yeah,
I got
some of those. Yeah.
Which are great, but like the original stuff, there was Charlie Brown, Patty, and Shermie.
And Schroeder
came later.
Usually.
Lucy came along later. And Lucy was actually a toddler age.
And then
when she got to be older, suddenly Linus is introduced as a baby.
As a baby, yeah.
And through all these people growing
Sally
up.
Sally comes around just shortly later, you know.
And yet, Charlie Brown never seemed to age past that. I guess he's supposed to be apparently second grade, according to the earlier movies. He's supposed to be second grade.
And whenever he was...
He just never gets past it.
You know, it seemed to me that at first he was trying to age them in time. The Simpsons did the same thing. In the first season, Bart was a certain age, and then he was in fourth grade, I believe, and then he went to fifth grade, and so did Lisa. Of course, it's funny, they kept the same teachers and everything. But anyway, they did that 1 year, and I guess they just, Matt Groening and all this, decided not to do that anymore, just keep him at that age the whole time. Which is smart, because they're
cartoon characters. You can keep them going.
Yeah.
But Heather hasn't gotten to say, is there a particular Peanuts character you relate to better?
Well, Charlie Brown for sure, because there are many times, and actually there was one job that I worked at that it always seemed to be, man, Charlie Brown, like you have the life of Charlie Brown. Well, at the time I was working there, but I feel like I've identified with Peppermint Patty a little bit. With the glasses, right? I'm getting the right character.
No, that's Marcy's glasses.
Marcy.
Peppermint Patty's the tomboy,
which I always
wondered with Marcy if it was like a sarcastic thing that she'd always call her sir because she was such a tomboy. Because Peppermint Patty kind of treats Marcy so bad, it was kind of like Marcy's little payback. I'm just call you sir, little Miss Tomboy. Just to annoy you, you know. But anyway.
I don't know. I think Marcy a little bit because of just, you know, the quiet and...
Kind of misunderstood.
Little smart.
Yeah, and smart and just kind of, you know, I always felt like, you know, Marcy and Charlie should get together.
Well,
you know?
Believe it or not, she has a crush on him. I didn't realize until like a year or two ago. She has a crush on him, but you never see that much because
Peppermint Patty always gets in the way.
Because
Peppermint Patty clearly has a crush on Charlie Brown.
Well, she's not shy.
Yeah, she ain't shy. But she's so prideful and full of herself. It's like, you kind of like me, don't you, Chuck? Oh, you touched my hand, didn't you, Chuck?
You sly old dog.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's, you know, we had this discussion plenty of times before. If they ever did like a live-action Peanuts movie, I thought it would be kind of a fun storyline that you have where Marcy finally gets her chance. Because, you know, finally, somehow or another, gets Peppermint Patty out of the way or somehow or another, you know. But that would be kind of a cute thing because, especially if you see the Thanksgiving special, it's pretty obvious that Marcy really does like Charlie Brown but just never gets that opportunity.
But, yep. she always seems to be that quiet character that's kind of in the background. That, yep. You know, so that's kind of the way that I guess I identify
and
with
it wouldn't...
her. Now, not glasses. I don't have glasses. Yeah. Although one day I will probably have glasses.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Your soul has glasses.
since a lot of these characters, these characters did have bases from people Charles Schulz actually knew, it wouldn't surprise me if Marcy is somehow or another actually based off of his wife because of this. You could tell.
I mean, it was later on. So it's
It could be because we do know the little red-haired girl is the girl that actually broke his heart.
Yeah.
And he was engaged to and she broke his heart, and I don't remember what her name is, but I've done some research, and I'll probably at some point in the podcast, either you have heard it or you will hear it, depending upon what order I put this in, because that's the magic of podcasting. Now, the fun thing that I like about... This is some great trivia, but who here knows the name of the little red-haired girl?
I do.
Well, of course you do. I've told you.
I not even the other day I was reading, but I can't recall it right now.
Heather. Of all things, yes. And is from...
And you used to always love redheads when you were growing up, remember?
And I got a Heather. I got halfway there, didn't I? See? That Charlie Brown, half of my own personality. And it's all from, if you... And I let's see. I've got it on a DVD because I found it my own way. But it's Your First Kiss, Charlie Brown. If you check this out, it's a homecoming. There's supposed to be the football. And half of the special was a football game where, of course, Charlie Brown is getting blamed for them losing because he can't manage to kick the ball because Lucy keeps pulling it away. She's the one that cost him the game. But she points out, Charlie Brown, this is all your fault. You can't complete one kick. It's like, well, you keep pulling the ball away. I wouldn't pull the ball away. It's too important in the game. Whoop. Still doing it. But part of the thing is that also Charlie Brown and Linus are both part of the escorts for the royal court of the homecoming. And so Charlie Brown has to dance with and kiss Heather. But as soon as he doesn't remember anything that happened at that point. He's just gone. And then it's like the next morning he wakes up and he's like, did this all really happen? And Linus has to tell him, wow, you were the life of the party, Charlie Brown. You danced with all the court and everything. You were wonderful. And Charlie Brown says, what's the good of being the life of the party if you can't remember it the next day? It's a really great special, and I do have that on a DVD, and it's a hoot.
Now, I do remember, and not just because you told me, but I do remember Heather being the name of the little red-haired girl, because when I heard it once, since it is my own name, you kind of remember stuff like that. So when I heard, I don't remember where I heard it, but at
some
point...
Was she on the Valentine's Day special as well, if I'm not mistaken?
We'll see. The only one that I... Because I think there's two different Valentines, because there's My Valentine, Charlie Brown, and I think there's also It's Valentine's Day, Charlie Brown.
Oh, okay.
Which is the one they still show on TV.
Okay.
They said her name. Like, they said her name in one of the, like, specials.
Yeah, well, I know
I
at least this
where
one
I
here.
It's
the
it's
Your First Kiss, and I keep thinking that they bring her up or they at least show her in the New Year's special, but I don't have a copy of that one.
Now that's the one I might, and you might.
I think she pops up in it, but in the comic strip, you never saw her. Never got her name.
No, yeah.
Which is why, like in the movie, they did keep to that. Although they do let you see her because you want to have character interaction with her.
I was suspecting it didn't happen, but. I'm suspecting that Snoopy's girl, so to speak.
Fifi,
yeah. I was expecting that...
Voiced by Kristen Chenoweth, even all she did was make noises.
It would have been great had the redhead girl had a dog, but she's leaving
him. Yes, that's what I was expecting, is to find out that she had a little dog named Fifi.
And waving at Snoopy or something. That would have been kind of fun.
Yeah, which is some things we haven't talked about in the movie. Just to give you a little bit on it, you do have the two major plots are, of course... Charlie Brown's reality and Snoopy's fantasy as he's writing his great story, as he always is. And I love that it starts on a dark and stormy night, as always. But, of course, him versus the Red Baron and trying to win the love and rescue Fifi, this dog in his imagination. And the two stories kind of coincide, and you kind of go back and forth between these two storylines throughout the film. But I don't want to spoil anything.
It's very clever.
It's very clever. It's very funny.
The thing I love about all the Charlie Brown characters, every single one of them, is that... even Lucy, the obnoxious Lucy, we all have Lucy's in our life.
Yeah, she's the bully.
But that being said, even she has insecurities.
Right.
And she likes Schroeder so much. And I love that even those who seem like they have nothing wrong with them has a lot wrong with them. And I think they all feel that way. I like that because everybody, if they're honest with themselves, has that insecurity somewhere in their
life. Somewhere in there.
Weakness. We have strengths.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. You know? And the fun thing about... fun but horrible thing also about Lucy is the way she can bully Charlie Brown in such a way that he'll give her 5 cents to do it.
Yeah, he's good.
She'll always
that.
Turn things around like she's being so helpful and do something horrible. Like, and another good case in point, if you watch A Boy Named Charlie Brown, the very first film back from 69, her part of her new therapy she's experimenting is to show Charlie Brown a slideshow of all his flaws. You know she's just getting personal enjoyment from that. Oh, see, look how you're even terribly clumsy. Look how fat you are. Your nose is even fat. I bet your toes are fat.
One of the things that I've been enjoying, and even though I got it a while back, I've been personally and purposefully taking my time on it, is there is a pastor's daily devotional that someone gave me, written by a pastor who's a Charlie Brown fanatic, if you will. And it's really good because he takes the old comic strips and it has biblical representation in it and it has a basic message in it, and he'll take scriptures to go with it. It's really great. I'll have to see it sometime.
Pretty yeah.
It's really neat. It's wonderful.
But you can, Charles Schulz put a lot of
yes,
like
he did.
That thoughtful, philosophical, I think even biblical, you know, a lot of that kind of morality messages in Peanuts. And I think it's real important that, you know, and the movie, I think, kept that very well.
Yeah.
And I really liked a lot of the messages that they had of, you know, not giving up and being honest.
Keep on.
You know, like that is the heart of Peanuts, and you can... you know, do certain things with the characters, but that's the heart of
You have to stay true to who they are, because that's an essential.
Probably miss out on that when they do movie versions and stuff.
Yeah, that's an essential.
Sometimes they do. Yeah,
it's an essential point of even the movie of Charlie Brown always does the right thing, even if it's painful to himself. He will do the right thing. You can always look for that. And I don't want to give anything away in the movie.
Stop there.
But it's nice that he gets appreciated for once.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll just say that. Because he always does the right thing, and I always like that Linus is always there to give him the right advice. If Charlie Brown doesn't know what to do, Linus knows the right thing to do, and will always be there to back him up.
And we all have friends like that who are kind of our Linuses. They're
we all need a Linus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you? Because I'm your Linus.
to every once in a while,
switch that.
But I like that he's friendly, but he's also honest.
Right.
You know, Charlie Brown, you're giving up too easily. You know, it's like saying something like here's your weakness, but you got a strength with it too.
Yeah.
You know, Lucy just shows the weaknesses. Lucy is the one that I think we all feel, you know, poor little me. I think we all have that poor little me thing once in a while. And we all feel like we have nothing but Lucy's around us all the time.
Yeah. Lucy and her gang there with Violet. And Patty. And Frida, because Frida's only personality thing is her naturally curly hair, but they're always around with Lucy when Lucy wants to bully around on Charlie Brown, and they're all there to laugh at anything he does.
You know, group gangs, know, team up.
it's like you always see that whenever, it depends upon where the story wants to go. You know, if this is Charlie Brown struggling with his life, they're always going to be there to mock him. But you always see his true friends that are really there, because Peppermint Patty, Marcy, and that was even when I was...
Of course, Snoopy.
Snoopy, of course.
I love those two together.
But something I hadn't even, you know, I hadn't even considered of how loyal Schroeder actually is to Charlie Brown when I was watching the Be My Valentine Charlie Brown on Valentine's Day in this special. Charlie Brown is waiting in his mailbox. Just something. From somebody. Somebody care about me. Gets nothing. Next day, though, you know, here comes Violet. Like, well, you know, we do kind of feel bad. So what we did, we scratched out our name and we're giving you that. Schroeder gets up. So you should be ashamed. Instead of showing that you actually care about Charlie Brown, you're giving your afterthoughts.
Yeah.
And just tells them up and down. It's like, no, you are supposed to be his friend. You should have made him a Valentine yourself, not giving him your leftovers.
Yeah.
But, of course, the joke, of course, Charlie Brown says, no, believe me, I'll take him, you know, anything. But I just like the way that Schroeder stood up for Charlie Brown. So, like, you do not need to treat him that way.
Yeah.
And shamed them. And, like, and they're, you know, like, okay, you're right.
And unfortunately.
But, like, go Schroeder. I like that.
And unfortunately, if we're honest with ourselves, just about everybody in the world, including me, has once in a while been a Violet and them, kind of gone along with the crowd,
peer
pressure. Yeah. I mean, it's really popular to say that we should be bullying bullies, but the fact of the matter is that still makes you bully them.
Right.
I mean, that is what people want to say. They say, well, I've never been that way. Don't lie.
Yeah.
We've all
most people have been that way.
I just say all people.
Most bullies don't realize they're bullies.
Yeah. Because I've teased endlessly before, and I look back now and say, you know, that was really kind of a jerky thing. You were trying to be funny, and you might have got a giggle, but not everybody else did. And in reality, we might have hurt someone's feelings horribly bad.
Yeah, you know? I see it on that school bus I'm driving all the time. And I said, you kids need to learn how to respect each other, because you're awful to each other.
And then I also...
You're all little bullies to each other.
I'm also easy to see they don't understand. Not everybody's that way, but for the most part, a lot of them, they don't get that they're to that point.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know they're being violent.
Yeah.
Now, when I was little, I didn't know her name. I used to say Lucy too. That's what I used to call her, because she was a lot like Lucy.
Yeah,
Lucy
she
a little
is.
Different, her hair was a little different. Besides that, She's very Lucy-ish.
Except for without the pride and anger of Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Lucy a lot reminds me of Miss Piggy. And as you were saying, having that inside insecurity like Miss Piggy has, that she hides with all of her bravado-ness.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things Frank Goss says. In order to get Miss Piggy to work, she has to be completely insecure, but just hiding it. Otherwise, you can't get the heart of Miss Piggy out, which is why I still think they fail in the new Muppet series. But that's a whole different thing, because it doesn't come through as
maybe
well.
Maybe Lucy...
Except for the breakup bit. That kind of is like, oh, look, there's the vulnerable Miss Piggy that was always hiding underneath.
Maybe it's
but
no
that's
accident.
That's Lucy.
Maybe it's no accident. Lucy and Lucifer aren't that different.
But yeah, but Lucy always, you know, puts up this bravado and how beautiful I am and stuff like that. But it's not that difficult to say, wait a minute, you didn't agree with me that I was beautiful. You think I'm ugly, don't you?
Yeah.
It comes out, Lucy. It's like, that's very Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
You mentioned Schroeder earlier, and now I don't play piano like I used to, but about the time I was a kid, you know, new specials and things were on, I was playing piano, taking piano lessons, and I love Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
Love Beethoven. I don't know if that has something to do with Peanuts directly, but I see Schroeder and I see a little bit of myself, so that has to be thrown into the mix when we talk identifying to Peanuts. And I love.
I
Beethoven.
Have a collection of Peanuts toys. And, a collection I back 2002 bought a whole bunch of them. I gave some away to my nephews and nieces, but I at least have one of all of them, you know. And with one of the Schroeders, he came with a Beethoven bust to put on top of his piano.
Awesome. But a cute story about that. Speaking of which, okay, so while I was here today on Hulu, by the way, you can find Snoopy Come Home and a Boy Named Charlie Brown. But I was watching a Boy Named Charlie Brown, and it's a very psychedelic movie at times.
I see.
But it has Schroeder. He starts playing some Beethoven, and just to kind of go along with what she said, she's kind of humming along and knew the tune as soon as Beethoven, he starts playing
it. I don't know the
it.
Names of them, but I know the music. Like, I hear like, oh, yeah, and usually I know it's Beethoven. Yeah. But I have to admit, if it had been for, and I know this is different cartoons, but if it hadn't been for the old Disney cartoons, Looney Tunes cartoons, Tom and Jerry, and things like that, I probably in life wouldn't have known those songs. Because I can't help but I hear da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'm all of a sudden, I'm in that cartoon, like, yeah. Oh, but do you know who composed it? No, not really. I just know that at this time, Bugs Bunny and Daffy are coming out.
Well, and Carl Stalling, when he started doing the Looney Tunes, he did want to pull from a lot of classic tunes
and
then put it in. Well, because Carl Stalling did work for Disney before he went to Warner Brothers.
And Tom and Jerry did a lot of that. You know, they even won Academy Award for one of their classics that dealt with classic instrumental music. So, beautiful stuff.
And yet, though, with Peanuts, there is no Carl Stalling. But there was the Sherman Brothers.
There's
our Disney tie-in, folks. Our Disney tie-in.
That's right.
And plus, Thurl Ravenscroft singing, "Those dogs are loud." And even at the end, I almost forgot where they have the second part, or birds either, because Woodstock wasn't allowed in the hospital either.
Now, Woodstock came around, was it 1968, 69?
I know, it was later. His first appearance in a cartoon was the 1972 movie. And introducing Woodstock.
Well, of course, Woodstock itself, I'm trying to think of the exact year. What was it, 64?
I don't recall. I'll be looking into the history and sharing that on another part of the podcast.
Let's see, 69 maybe. But either way,
the plan.
It was in the late 60s, we know that.
Right.
So that's where they got the name, of course.
You were talking about the music, and I was... there's been, since the movies come out, you know, people put things up on Facebook and stuff, like little known facts about, you know, Peanuts. And one of the things that they had put up was actually one of the first music pieces that were in the specials or whatever was... Romanoff, like Rock Romanoff, which is you hear it in Willy Wonka because that's his musical thing, you know, to get into the area where it's all edible.
Oh yeah.
And so every time I hear that composer, I think of Willy Wonka. But they did mention that was
Rachmaninoff. I think. Yeah.
Yep.
I remember seeing that.
I thought that was kind of interesting. Not Beethoven, but
yeah. Well, the Beethoven of me and Jeremy's generation will always be John Williams.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I have my music guide even today, listening to a lot of different instrumental music of the movie theme songs. And truth of the matter is, I think people take it for granted, but music for these shows, whether it be Charlie Brown or whatever, really do set the tone, the mood, and character, and you know, for so many things.
And they did have the Vince Guaraldi trio that you particularly can catch it in the credits, but it was there in the movie as well.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Well, even after, because he had done the specials and they were so used to the music, they even with a boy named Charlie Brown, they kept the Vince Guaraldi tunes, but they added an orchestra backup into some of his old music and put it in there, which was very fun to hear because, you know, in the Christmas specials where you first hear the ice skating tune, where it's all piano, but then on the boy named Charlie Brown, when Snoopy goes to skate, it's got strings and flutes, and then suddenly gets broken up by a hockey game in his imagination.
Yeah.
But it's nice, and even in this new film, to keep his stuff in there. And I'm trying to pull up what she was talking about, these little known facts.
I
shared it.
Yeah, and I've got it on our page.
There you go.
But there's quite a few of these actually little known facts that I thought would be fun to kind of talk about since we've kind of go over some memories.
I like the fact that they threw in even the little wall that Charlie Brown likes, that they threw in
the kite eating tree.
They threw in different things of like from the Christmas special. You know, the caroling. I mean, all little bits and pieces. And I love whenever they're imagining
Joe
things.
Cool.
It's drawn like the comic strip / cartoons. You know, I love that. I thought it was wonderful.
And the director did say that they did try to aim for that kind of early '80s, right about the time Charles Schulz had started to develop his tremor.
Yeah.
That gave it that signature look.
Even Snoopy's family.
Yes.
I love that the Snoopy's family showed up.
Yes, it's very important. Stay to the very end of the credits because there is one storyline that gets resolved at the very end of the credits.
Oh, see, now I didn't see that with my family.
It's a small storyline, but it was something I had wondered about. It's like, well, what about this? And then finally at the end,
it
is.
Yeah. You tell me where it is.
Yes, so stay till the end of the credits. But here we go. Those little known facts. There are 17,897 strips that ran between 1950 and 2000, each drawn by Schulz. And, of course, we know at 77 is when Schulz passed away from colon cancer.
What? You mean his age?
Yes, he was 77.
Yeah. So it was 2000.
This is something, though, I didn't know about because when I checked out the library book, that had like the first like 15 years in the first one, it did have some of his original Lil Folks. And that's what he called it with, his original stories.
Yep, that's right.
And he did introduce Charlie Brown in that. But United Press Syndicate, or United Features, sorry, when they took it on, they didn't like the name, and they called it Peanuts, and Charles Schulz never actually liked that name.
No, but it caught, and that's why...
It caught on, and he got stuck with it. That's why also he would go Peanuts featuring good old Charlie Brown.
Hey, Charlie Brown was always what I call it, the Charlie Brown cartoon.
Snoopy,
Snoopy.
To me,
Charlie
it was
Brown.
Snoopy.
Charlie Brown, Snoopy.
Charlie Brown, Snoopy.
Yeah, that's right.
But and we already mentioned that Linus and Lucy did not show up. Now, the funny thing is, and I think I did mention this, that Linus did show up. He was a baby.
Yep.
After Lucy finally started talking, and it was no longer so much as a toddler, then they decided they needed another baby, which is why I think Rerun eventually was brought in, because he's like, I don't have a Van Pelt baby anymore.
That was in the 80s. I remember when they had the Peanuts TV show. It was like 83.
Yeah, the Charlie Brown and Snoopy show.
And it wasn't near as good as the specials. Yeah.
I think it only lasted like a season.
I gotta tell you, I actually do like them, and I would like to get a copy of every Charlie Brown thing ever made, if I could.
I think they're out in stores right now.
Oh, good.
I was on Vudu, and they even had a collection of Volume 1 of the Charlie Brown specials.
Awesome.
There's a total of 45 specials to track down. Oh, but here's something that I always thought was interesting, because I've gotten to read this and some of the old ones. But in 1968, in July, is when Franklin first popped up. And apparently it was controversial at the time.
It was, yes.
Which, what I liked about it is this, you know, Charlie Brown was at a beach. And he's, you know, this is where he met a lot of new friends, because Peppermint Patty and Marcy didn't live in his neighborhood. But they went to the same school, but they were played on opposing baseball teams, and Peppermint Patty just cleaned their clocks all over the place. But, you know, became friends with them. But Franklin was on that other side of town where Peppermint Patty came from, and Franklin is actually the first one from that side of town, if I recall, that he had met while he was at the beach. He met Franklin, became friends with him, and then Franklin, I think, did eventually introduce him to his friend Peppermint Patty and Marcy.
Yep.
But I like the way there was no thought about, oh, look, Franklin looks different from me. And I think Charles Schulz was really onto something.
From what I understand, if I remember reading this right or hearing it on a special or something, Charles Schulz said he did know an African-American kid back in the day, you know, in the 30s and 40s and all that. And he wanted to put that in there, especially because that was the changing time.
Yeah, that was the changing time.
You know, all that started changing.
And he didn't make a big deal. Oh, look, he's black. Look, hey, look, I have a black friend. Unlike today, where it's like, oh, look, we have a gay character.
Yeah.
It seems that that's what they want to do. Instead of like, okay, if you're going to do that, just bring it in. If you feel like you have to do it, don't make a big deal about it then.
Yeah.
You know?
Underplay it.
Underplay it. Just let it be part of your story if that's the way you need to do it.
That's the way kids see it. When kids make a friend, like when they're little kids like that age, it's not like, oh, my kid is, my friend is Asian or black or whatever. Like, they just accept him. That's the way kids are.
He's a fun kid I can play with.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the way kids are. They don't see that kind of stuff.
If you're trying to be diverse, you don't have to make a big deal, which is one of the things that kind of bugs me just a little bit with, you know, I love having some female superheroes. That's great. But it bugs me in Supergirl whenever they have to have a line that's like, look, we're playing up, look, feminists, come here and watch this show, by saying stuff like, look, here's someone for your daughter to look up to. Why don't you just tell good stories with the character and let the rest work itself out? You don't have to preach it at me. But anyways, but this is, I thought this was kind of a fun little fact that Charlie Brown's head apparently is very hard to draw because you don't think about it, but it is just that perfect round shape.
Yeah, it took me years, and I would say it was hard to draw for me now, except I've drawn it so many times, and it still is somewhat hard, but I just got so used to doing it. I mean, I started drawing Charlie Brown when I was about 3 years old, and that's the only reason why it's not near as hard as it once was, but it still is. The nose, everything has to be just so-so, because sometimes I have to redraw it 2 or 3 times to get it pretty much right.
Just that, and like Linus's head even has that weird shape.
And they all, there's many of them. Schroeder, Lucy, and Linus all have that weird little indentation. Yeah. You know, they do.
Well, and they mentioned in the article as you're scrolling down there, there's actually two head, like, face types.
Yeah.
Like the Van Pelts with that, like you said, the little dip.
Schroeder has one too.
And then, like, the perfectly circular, kind of like Charlie Brown.
And his sister Sally has one, you know. Of course, with her hair, it's not as obvious. But, one thing I like about all the characters, they had their own uniqueness. For instance, when I was a kid, I was a stupid sports person. Knew nothing about the difference between football and basketball. I just simply knew that there was two things like that. But if you look at Peppermint Patty's hair, that first part looks like a football. Shaped like a football, has lines like a basketball. That's how I always knew there's Peppermint Patty. They all have enough uniqueness.
Yeah.
And they just stand out. That's what I love about them.
And that was one of the interesting things. It's this other article that I found where they're talking to the director of the current Peanuts movie, Steve Martino, and he talked about how when they were trying to make sure they wanted everybody to look exactly the way everybody would remember from the comic strips, and trying to find a way to computerize their heads but keep that same 2D look and that same head shape was very difficult. And also,
I love the combination of the two.
Also, he talked a little bit here in this article. Let me see if I can find this quote.
In fact,
quote.
I think the biggest changes I saw was certain hair colors of Frida and Patty were just a slight different than they used to be.
Yeah.
But brilliantly so, where you can still tell there's a blondish reddish hair to Patty, but because you have two Patties, you didn't want them to both be reddish.
Yeah.
And because you you didn't want to have two redhead girls. So therefore, it was more of a strawberry blonde, which I thought was kind of smart how they did it.
He did comment on the difficulty it was to get the animation to look the way it is, and when they would do traditional hand-drawn, you know, your original animator would have gaps that they would just put in because they would just get the motion. Then you'd have another animator to come in and do cleanup. And with the computer, apparently there is something similar that's done automatically where it does clean up your animation. And he does mention that the difficulty of because when you looked at the original animated specials, the way Charles Schulz had set it up and would talk to the Melendez, Bill Melendez, and their name was so similar, the two guys who produced a lot of these, and then Phil Roman directed most of them. But there was Peanuts poses that they needed to go from, and those were your points. So they had certain poses that the characters went to, like this or like this, and I could see them in the movie. They would go to those traditional things, and so the idea was to go from one Peanuts pose to the other, and smoothly without being perfectly smooth as possible, so it felt like the old cartoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that really was a good detail, because I did notice, because Charlie Brown has certain ways we're used to him standing in the comic strips and in the cartoons.
His slump.
And when emotion, how he'll do this, you know, hold his stomach, that certain arm pull-up when he wants to do his little dance. Yeah. I got an invitation to a Halloween party, you know. He's got certain poses of how they are, and the way they captured that in the movie, and I can't find the exact quote
he is on
there.
Well, I like how they had the dances. You know, like, everybody knows the Christmas special.
The original,
Yeah, their little dances.
Yes, their little
showed
dances.
Up and it,
Jeremy and all of them did it. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah.
So the main thing, though, that he was trying to do is, because he worked directly with Charles Schulz's two sons and even a grandchild was in on this.
Awesome.
But when they were worried about doing it, they'd ask, you know, somebody had even asked the director about modernizing. He says, well, the closest thing we're going to do to modernizing is texture.
That's it.
They get to, yeah. I want them to have some texture, and we can use a bright palette of colors to bring in that old school thing. It's like, that's as close to modern as he goes. And he even mentions in this article that I found here, and by the way, this article is from The Verge that I was reading up on this, but he wanted to make sure that at no point you were going to see an iPhone in Charlie Brown's hand.
Yeah.
Which I love in the movie. You will see him still get tangled up in a phone cord.
Yeah,
because they're using an old school phone, but that helps it be timeless. It's not set in a modern time. It's not really set in the past.
That was the brilliance of the 1989 Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
That it had a very 40s look and yet 80s, but yet it wasn't so 80s that it was the 80s. It was very somewhere in between. There are certain people who could do that. They do it right.
Yeah.
So, you shouldn't have it so timed.
Speaking of Batman, like the old Batman animated series from the early to mid 90s. Mm-hmm. Everything That's had a, did, the cars yeah. looked like very vintage, but yet they'd have all kinds of computer Modern, technology yeah. and stuff like that.
Well, and a smart person will do that. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a book or it's a movie or it's, you know, some other type of media, a TV show. If you want it to be timeless, you can't keep it to where it's so tied in with the time.
That was the problem I had with Aladdin, honestly. Mm-hmm. A lot of the jokes, I still love it, but a lot of the jokes, the Jack Nicholson jokes, the interpretation of it said, oh, look, it's this guy, it's that guy, that quite frankly, our grandkids, we even have kids, our kids aren't going to get the joke of who this guy, they're trying to be, oh, look, he's right into it. Who? Oh, he's been dead for 25 years by the time they're around.
It puts, yeah, it puts its shelf life on your work. It puts because after you leave that time period and people...
Yeah. And there's some impersonations that goes on Aladdin that I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The provisos, the pros. I have no idea.
That's Buckley, who is a political guy.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
I've never seen the guy. And plus,
well,
of course...
Well, they did a good job with him, but I didn't know him well. I barely knew who he was.
Yeah. So it didn't quite fit. But here's where I was talking about the names there. It's Charles's son, Craig, and then his grandson, Brian, who actually scripted the film, and then the great-grandson, Micah, has a small role in it. And that's why they actually, when they put the title up on the movie, they were able to go with the Peanuts movie by Schultz. Because it really was by Schultz. It was written by these two. And apparently they had written this years ago, because they had been, you know, talking about having a movie on there, and they just wanted to make sure their father's legacy was kept properly in there.
I can't tell you, of all the characters I've done amalgams of, you can say it's better than anything. I've drawn Muppets combined with Star Wars ever since I was 5. I've drawn the Popeye characters combined with just about everything you think of. I've done the same with Mickey Mouse and them. But honestly, the Peanuts to me are the ones I had the most fun. If I ever want to draw Charlie Brown, it's almost anybody. You know, Snoopy's the same. I mean, I got Star Wars Snoopy pictures I drew years ago. It's just it's fun stuff because they're such fun characters. So they could almost go with any time and any type of thing. Mm-hmm. Just about.
Yeah. Timelessness again.
It is, you know.
Yeah. Well, since we seem to be just keeping on going here, some other things that I did want to share as part of the podcast, and I'll just make it part of this conversation, so saves me editing later. But I love that the fact, here on, if you search for Peanuts on Wikipedia, you can see this. And this is the very first Peanuts strip, which I absolutely love. Yeah. He completely set the tone, and you can definitely see the difference in the art style he had. Yeah. But I love the fact that all it features is there's Shermie and Patty, who's sitting there on a bench or on some stairs. Charlie Brown comes walking up, and the dialogue is completely Shermie in 4 frames. He goes, well, here comes old Charlie Brown. Good old Charlie Brown. Yes, sir. Good old Charlie Brown. The very last frame, how I hate him. He set the tone for the entire thing right there with one strip to let, you know, basically if you saw that, you know what you were going to see for the rest of the time.
That's
in Peanuts.
Right. Let's pick on Charlie.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a kid, Charlie Brown and all the other characters of the Peanuts gang, besides the fact that they were on TV all the time, and I love that Patty's name is Peppermint Patty, and every time you had the commercials, you'd have York Peppermint Patty, so, and all that kind of stuff, so that made sense. Peter Paul Cadbury. And then the other thing was, is they were spokespeople for Dolly Madison Bakery goods. You could go get the pies and it'd have a picture of Patty with the butterscotch.
Oh,
so for
years,
Patty, the original Patty, it show her with her scotch-looking dress.
Yeah, hers. That's the distinguished thing, to be able to tell who Patty is. She's the one that looks like she's got diamonds because it's all crossed.
And they had that, and she was this kind of yellowish-brown dress. Mm-hmm. And they had that on
violet,
the butter.
Usually in green.
That's right, and it was on the butterscotch-flavored pie
that
they used to have. So for years, I thought her name was Butterscotch. I really did. You know, I don't know why. But I didn't put the two and two together until one day I was looking back on something online. I was like, that's why. I always taste the butterscotch when I see that character.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I do want to bring up, though, that Charles Schulz did win some awards here, but he got the National Cartoonist Society Humor Comic Strip Award in 1962 for Peanuts, the Society's Elsie Singer Award in 1980, first two-time winner of their Reuben Award for 1955 and 1964, and the Milton Caniff Lifetime Achievement Award in 1999. And, of course, was an avid hockey fan. And apparently he's got something. He was inducted into the United States Hockey Hall of Fame in 1993. Which that's is awesome, kind of though. Funny. But it's nice, you know, all the awards and everything that stands together for that. And there actually is a museum out in California you can go check out on Charles Schulz with all his different stuff. He's even got a Congressional Gold Medal. I mean, because really, if you think about it, I mean, this is probably the most successful comic strip of all time.
Yeah, as far as that goes. And I was watching special.
Being part of our culture, it's never going to go away.
I was special about comic strips, and every single one of them, from Calvin Hobbes to Garfield, all the people had to say, everyone said that Charles Schulz influenced them more than they could ever even say. They said basically he was the Walt Disney, if you will, of comic strips.
Yeah, he was.
And the other thing, I thought when I heard he was retiring, it was back then.
Oh, his failing health and everything. Yeah.
I was so upset, and yet I understood it. But the part that was so, I remember telling my father, I said, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning on that last construct and go get it. Of course, I get up, and he goes, son, I got something to tell you. He goes, you're not going to believe this. I said, what's that, Dad? And he goes, well, it's about Charles Schulz. I said, oh, I know. I'm getting ready to go get it. He goes, no, son, he passed away this morning.
Yeah.
So I thought it was
right
very
as that last strip was coming out.
That was the last comic strip. The morning it came out, he died, and it was poetic, I think.
It was. And, it was a very interesting thing. And I remember finding this. Oh, it was a biographical type of thing when he ended the strip.
Let me read this here,
the end of Peanuts. But he left this nice little letter here. It says, dear friends, I have been fortunate to draw Charlie Brown and his friends for almost 50 years. It has been the fulfillment of my childhood ambition. Unfortunately, I'm no longer able to maintain the schedule demanded by a daily comic strip. My family does not wish Peanuts to be continued by anyone else. Therefore, I am announcing my retirement. I have been grateful over the years for the loyalty of our editors and the wonderful support and love expressed to me by fans of the comic strip. Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Linus, Lucy, how can I ever forget them? And it's very interesting. There was another quote, because there were people that said, when they knew he was going to retire, and he had had a series of strokes and had very declining health. That's how they found they had the cancer, was from these series of strokes. Golly, where did I find this quote? It was a really good little quote. No, I can't find the quote anywhere, but people were telling him, okay, well, if you're going to do this last strip, finally, please let Charlie Brown kick that football. And he says, that would be a disservice to the history of Charlie Brown of never getting to kick it if I let him do it now. But after he had done it and didn't let him kick it, he kind of says, man, I really, you know, all this time, and I never let that stupid kid kick that stupid football.
Yeah.
I thought it was really kind of cute. It was like he really wanted to let Charlie Brown do it, but it would have been a disservice to all the years that he had tried. I don't know if that had been a disservice, but if he felt it was, then okay.
Yeah.
Although it was kind of funny, there is a, make sure while you're staying through the credits, of course, they have to have a football kicking scene.
Yeah.
Because, right. And you knew it was going to happen, but the people that sit down in front of us were like, please, just let him kick it. Just let him kick it.
And they did have, even earlier in the show, I thought we'd already gotten our little tribute to that, because earlier in the show, they did have a little sketch memory, you know, a little memory thing. Yeah. So I figured that was all we were going to get of it, but I was glad I was wrong.
I was glad we got to see a complete scene.
And Lucy, there's everything Lucy fashion.
Very much so. The only thing that you would normally expect is Linus, you know, using that blanket in some clever fashion, like as a whip or something. Didn't really get to do that.
No, not too much.
But it was important that he had his
blanket. That's it.
Yeah, the blanket really only showed up, like, at the beginning.
It was in his locker when they were talking. I didn't notice it hanging out.
It wasn't as big of a deal as it is in some of the specials and, like, you know, the comic strip. But it was there.
And there is the typical thing where Snoopy would like to run up. And I don't know if it's so much in the later strips, but in the early ones, Snoopy would always come up and grab that end and run with that blanket.
They did do that little thing.
Yeah, they did that in this movie, and it was very fun.
Yeah.
But they always have where Snoopy just liked the blanket. Mm-hmm. He wanted to have it, too. And he tried to steal it away and ended up dragging Linus around. It was
great. Here's my tie-in to the blanket. I had a blankie when I was a kid, and I still have it. I actually, when it was falling apart and it was ended up in two pieces, I wrapped it around one of my favorite childhood toys that I think, according to my parents, it was one of the oldest toys that I have. So I still have my old dog with my old blankie still wrapped around it. But I had a cat that was pregnant, and I don't think we really realized that she was pregnant, but in the middle of the night came up and took my blankie and had kittens on my blanket underneath my bed. So there, I know it's not Snoopy and Linus, but there's my tie-in.
Yeah,
I've had my own blankets that I get so attached to, literally, and I wish I could tell you when I was a kid only, but the fact is that some blankets just feel so comfortable, and I was always such an emotional person, still the last couple of years, the last year especially. But even with that, there's times that, like last night, I put one of the blankets over me when I was in my chair, and suddenly I just felt so comfortable. I was like, oh man, maybe I do have a little more Linus than I realized. Yeah.
Well, I had my blanket too, and I had one that Grandma had made for me when I was little. It had all these little teddy bears on it, and I kept that thing even if it was falling apart.
It's emotional as well.
Because I said, well, Grandma made me this blanket.
That's
so
why
my blanket.
I have blankets that I
didn't fit on the beds I had as I got bigger beds.
But I have blankets that I intend to get fixed at some point because my aunt made them. My aunt's no longer with us, and so therefore, that when I have those things, I feel like I'm with her. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think we all have those little things here and there that make us think of the people we love.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, in this movie, I'm just going to tell you, folks, growing up, my father and my aunt, she was the blonde-headed little girl. He was the big brother, always taking care of her. And she always called my dad her Charlie Brown, and he was her Sally. And so it was in the 50s when they were growing up, you know. So therefore, whenever I saw that movie yesterday, I saw the big brother and with the little sister moments, I started tearing up. Just it made me think of him so very much. And I thought, wow.
And there is a big moment as key in this movie that was really great.
Oh, I cried. I cried.
Yeah. If they'd have played the theme from A Boy Named Charlie Brown in the middle of there, I probably would have lost it. I told Heather, I'm going to lose it if they play it. Because I really like that song. It's the opening bit there from A Boy Named Charlie Brown, which I think this movie did follow along a little bit to A Boy Named Charlie Brown. Used some similar elements, starting out with, of course, Charlie Brown trying to fly the kite. It did remind me of that movie a lot, with similar plots, things that do happen.
But I can't help it. Thank you very much, Sherman Brothers. Every time I see the kite, and I don't know, in my head, I can hear it's with toppings for paper. that's always in my head. Yeah.
But speaking of the passing, though, of Charles Schulz, and I really wish I had a copy of this comic. I got the image on the internet a long time ago, and I don't know if I still have it. But after Charles Schulz had passed, there was sort of an editorial, whatever kind of comic strip. But they had like a drawing of heaven. And, you know, all gates and everything. And has a sign said, no dogs allowed. And there's like supposed to be like St. Peter there with Charles Schulz and Snoopy by his side. And he says, well, in your case, I think we can make an exception.
And that's pretty good.
I like that.
Salute, you know.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that was great. You know.
Seemed like there's a specific comic strip artist who loved Charles Schulz so much because he inspired. If I remember right, it was on the documentary I was watching. And I can't remember who it was now. But it was pretty famous person who did that, if I'm not mistaken. They wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I remember something like that, too. Yeah. I don't remember exactly the...
I don't want to say it's the guy who made Calvin Hobbes, but it was someone to that caliber who was up there, you know.
But now that they've done so well... Now, granted, I've looked at some of the projected numbers, and, of course, Spectre is going to double what Peanuts
is
doing.
Well, yeah, but I'll be honest, I'll see that some other
time. See Spectre. Yeah, I'll
but
I certainly want to see
Charlie Brown,
I've been waiting for Peanuts, you know, such a long time.
Me too.
But,
Charlie's
so
Brown.
Potentially, maybe some more Peanuts, but maybe how this has gone... I wonder if maybe someone's going to start thinking, well, let's look at some of these older properties. Calvin and Hobbes has never had a TV special that I've ever seen, cartoon, anything. Why not?
Yeah.
Where's my Calvin and Hobbes
movie?
Well,
I know why. Because he purposely never copyrighted them because he didn't want to be like that. He didn't want to sell properties like that because that's why. It was because of him. For instance, if you guys see a certain... we'll say taking a rest or taking a break bumper sticker.
Oh, like, yeah. All those things. Where
those are not
Calvin.
Legal, but because he did not copyright it purposely, so because he didn't want to be involved with just making the money. I mean, it's his own thing.
Yeah.
But that's why we'll never get those things. It stinks because they're great characters.
I really don't like seeing that character used in that
abused
way.
And, yeah.
You know, very much. It really, really bothers me when I see that. And this actually, Calvin and Hobbes came up, and I don't remember the context in one of my classes I was teaching. And of course, the kids are like, Calvin and Hobbes? Like, what is that?
Kids don't know about Calvin and Hobbes
anymore. And I almost, the only way I could, trying to think in my head, the conversation left that and they kind of moved on. But the only way I could, you know, explain to them, well, it's a bumper sticker. You see this particular...
Yeah, you'll see Calvin on a bumper sticker. Yeah.
There are other comic strip characters, to me, will always be like Charlie Brown in that time period. And that is a Family Circus. I've always loved him. Also, Christine Based. Yeah. And also, another one like that is Dennis the Menace.
Has a Disney connection.
That's, oh, really good.
Yes, one of the Keen children works it for Disney.
Awesome.
I forgot what he does. Awesome. Somebody will probably email me and tell me.
And Dennis the Menace.
I think it's Gil Keen. Was an animator or a character designer over at Disney.
Dennis the Menace is the other one. Dennis the Menace back then.
Oh, yeah.
And they were supposed to be for Dairy Queen for so long when we were growing up. And then, and then besides that, there's just a few others, but those really stand out to me.
Yeah.
Marvin. I don't remember Marvin.
Yes, Marvin. Grandpa. Yeah, of course I know Marvin the baby because of Grandpa Marvin.
But he was another one I thought this was great comic strips, and people don't hardly know of these characters.
They're gone now.
What was the other? Marmaduke was back in the day.
Yeah. Well, they did try a movie of Marmaduke, but it looked terrible.
I like Heathcliff back in the day.
Yep, I'd like to see Heathcliff come back. Garfield, I think they did such a disservice with the movies. It just didn't quite get it.
The only thing that I loved, the irony of it, was the fact that Bill Murray did the voice of Garfield, and Garfield did the voice of Bill Murray's Peter Venkman.
Oh, yeah, Lorenzo did the voice of...
So that was kind of a neat little thing.
That was a nice...
He did a good job. I can't think of anyone else who could have done
the voice like that. It was great casting. It's just maybe it should have been a fully animated...
It's kind of the way I feel about the Chipmunk films. I don't want to get into that. But
there's another one coming. Oh, boy.
It's just that the whole inappropriacies, even the commercials that turn me off, so to speak, you know.
I'm very sad with what has happened to the Chipmunks because they were one of my favorite. We would watch them Saturday morning cartoons, all the time. One of my probably childhood cartoons, one of my absolute favorites.
Now, I'll tell you this you might like, though. Mm-hmm. The new series I watched is pretty darn good.
They look weird. They look like children.
I don't like
them. I can't watch it. They don't look right.
They look like half monkey folks. But I will say this. The music is great. The stories have a lot of the 80s feel about it. So that I like. But it definitely, especially the music, we're the Chipmunks, just like from
they
the
They actually
80s.
Do use
it. Yeah, they use it. They absolutely
may have to watch that a little
more. It's on Hulu.
I've tried to watch a little. It's on Nickelodeon, and
I use my nephews.
Or is it Cartoon Network? No, I think it is a Nickelodeon that's showing the new Chipmunks.
I love to use my nephews as an excuse to watch these cartoons that I really want to see.
There's a reason they have kids, right?
Yeah, there you go.
You get to be a kid forever. And with that being said, I will say, to me, one of the greatest things about the movie yesterday when I went and saw it was, just right before y'all did, I love that the adults were into it more than the kids even. And the kids were into it. They loved the movie.
Yeah. Oh,
but
the
adults were so deep into it, laughing, just,
just as
loving
much.
It so much. Yeah. I thought it was wonderful to see the adults getting into it. Usually adults kind of roll their eyes, it's a kid's show. But in this one, the adults were almost more like the kids than the kids were, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And so that's the cleverness, once again, back to the classic, it's a family thing. The parents don't have to just take it and I'm just humoring the kids. You know, the parents and adults will like it.
Yeah. And even if you don't laugh out loud at something, you relate to it, and it always makes you feel good.
Yeah. Feel it in your heart.
Yeah. You always, that everyone in the comic strip, he didn't always make you laugh out loud, but you always felt good after you read it.
That's
You always related to it.
That's right.
That was just purely timeless classic.
He is what I would call, and I know the word gets overused, but his creations and his comic strips, in my opinion, are genius.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I need to get me some book collections.
I have a few things I'll let you look at sometime. Yeah. But I want to get more, believe me. I want to get all the cartoons and everything.
Well, yeah,
I
probably like too much
stuff. I like too much stuff. Yeah. And I collect too much stuff.
I ain't made them money, unfortunately, because I was here at Target. They had everything out there. And I'm like, man.
Slow but sure.
So, yeah.
Same with all the others. Pop.
And I am finding, if anybody has a Vudu account, and no, Vudu is not a sponsor, but I did do a quick search, and they did have a lot of the old movies, and they do have it's a season one set of some of the specials. And since I did have like $2.01 of lingering credit sitting in there, I got the Charlie Brown All-Stars special, with the baseball team when they all quit after 999 losses, you know.
That's so great.
It was just fun to watch it again.
There's a Disney tie right there, 999.
But there's room for 1,000, Eddie Volunteers.
For one more.
Yes, always room for one more. Now I'm thinking Robin Hood. There's always room for one more. And he finds it. Okay. But I think we can wrap this conversation up. Because I do want to share some fun audio with our Neverlanders right now.
Hi, I'm Charlie Brown. You can read along in your book as you listen to the story. You'll know it's time to turn the page when you hear the chimes ring like this. And now we present Charlie Brown's All-Stars. Well, tomorrow starts another baseball season.
I worked up a few statistics about our baseball team, Charlie Brown. Last year, our opponent scored 3,000 runs to our total of 6 runs. They made 4,900 hits to our 11 hits. And they made 4 errors to our 375 errors.
I don't think I'm going to get much sleep tonight. See you tomorrow, Linus. And thanks for the statistics.
Charlie Brown, do your team a big favor tomorrow.
What's that?
Don't show up.
I've got 5 boys, 3 girls, and a dog who can't throw. And every time we lose, they call me a blockhead. They never let me forget the mistakes I make. Never.
Why do we have to suffer every year like this? Well, maybe that blockhead Charlie Brown won't show up this time and we'll have a chance.
Well, team, here I am.
Disaster time. We're doomed.
What a team. Good grief. No manager goes through what I do. Pigpen, hasn't the other team shown up?
Unfortunately, yes.
All right, here we go. If this team is going to beat us, they're really going to have to try. I hate it when they try.
What's the score now, manager?
We're behind 57-0.
Why don't we just sort of slip away or go home and watch TV or something?
Rats! Another game lost. I really thought we were going to win this one. For one brief moment, victory was within our grasp. And then the game started. 123-0. Good grief. What a way to lose our first game of the season.
I quit. I refuse to play anymore on a team that never wins.
Don't quit, Violet. Please. We need you. We need to stick together as a team. After all, it's not the winning that counts. The fun is in the playing. Oh, brother.
I'm quitting. It's ridiculous to keep playing on a team that always loses. This team will never amount to anything.
I'm sorry, Charlie Brown, but I guess I'll quit too.
My whole team is deserting me. One by one, they've been turning in their caps. I don't know what to do.
Charlie Brown, guess what? Mr. Hennessy down at the hardware store was wondering if you would like to get in the Real League. Mr. Hennessy wants to sponsor our team. Real uniforms, real equipment, and everything.
That's great. Wait till the team hears about this. That's just the inspiration we need, Linus. Now nothing will stop us.
Maybe we'll win one in a row.
Listen, everybody, listen! I've got something to tell you about the baseball team.
Forget it, Charlie Brown. We're never gonna play baseball with you again.
But listen, what I've been trying to tell you is, Mr. Hennessy has agreed to buy us team uniforms. We're going to get a chance to play in a real league.
Real uniforms?
Okay, you blockhead. If you can deliver the uniforms, we'll give you one more chance.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Hennessy? Yes, this is Charlie Brown. What's that? Why, yes, we do have a dog on the team. Girls? Yes, we do have a girl or two on the team. But... Oh, I couldn't do that, Mr. Hennessy. They're my team. I couldn't tell the girls and Snoopy they couldn't be on the team. Oh, you mean the league won't accept girls or a dog on a team. Well, I understand, Mr. Hennessy. I know it isn't your fault. Rules are rules. Thanks anyway. Rats. No uniforms. No real league. I'm glad you're here, Linus. Mr. Hennessy just called, and we can't have the uniforms unless we get rid of Snoopy and the girls from our team. He says there's no place for them in an organized league.
Oh, brother! They'll never play for you again.
I've got it. I won't say a word until after the next game. All we need is one victory, and they'll forget all about the uniforms. I know we can do it. We can win if we really try.
Good old Charlie Brown. He never gives up.
I've come up with something that's going to bring us victory. I've had Linus scout the opposition. Now we'll know their weaknesses. Linus?
I watched this team practice, see? They were terrible. Anybody could beat them. None of their players can hit the ball out of the infield. And they have this loudmouth girl in center field who can't catch a thing. They also have some animal at second base who can't even throw. And their pitcher is kind of a round-headed kid who is absolutely no good at all. And...
You scouted your own team!
Charlie Brown, why don't you give up?
It's a good thing we're going to get uniforms. Otherwise, we wouldn't even play.
All right, all right. Let's start the game. Yay! Look at that! Sherby got a hit! The team is really up for this one. We can't lose. Wow! Yay! Another hit! I feel it in my bones! Today we win! All right, Snoopy. This is the last of the night. We need at least 2 runs. I want you to go up there and get on base.
Yay!
Look at that! Snoopy got a hit! We're still in the game! Snoopy's going to try for home! Slide, Snoopy, slide! He made it! He made it! We're only 1 run behind! Who's up next?
You are. Grit your teeth and get a hit.
Good grief.
Ooh, come on, Charlie Brown. Hit it. For once in your life, hit it.
Now I'm going to grit my teeth and bear down. If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination, he can't fail. I'm going to steal second. Here I go. I did it. I stole second base.
Yay, Charlie Brown.
I'm on my way to being a hero. If I can steal third, we have a chance. There's third base. It's hero time. It's the bottom of the ninth, Lucy. We're only 1 run behind with a tying run at third.
But we have 2 outs.
If I could steal home, the game would be all tied up and I'd be the hero. I've got to try to steal home. First, I'll dance around a little on the base to confuse their pitcher. And then I'll... take off!
That crazy Charlie Brown is trying to steal home! Slide, Charlie Brown, slide!
If it weren't for those uniforms we're going to get, we'd quit right now.
I told Mr. Hennessy we didn't want his old uniforms.
Ugh!
That's it, Charlie Brown. So long forever.
Boy, is Charlie Brown stupid.
He lost us the game and gave away our uniforms.
Well, if you must know, Charlie Brown was only thinking of your feelings. The only reason Charlie Brown turned Mr. Hennessy down was because he'd have to get rid of Snoopy and you girls.
All of you are the most thoughtless bunch I've ever known. You don't care anything about Charlie Brown. He's been loyal to you because he thinks you're his friends. But do you ever act like friends? No. Those uniforms meant as much to Charlie Brown as they did to you. Probably more.
I feel terrible.
But what can we do?
Hey, maybe we can make it up to Charlie Brown by making him a uniform.
Yes, that might pip him up, but we don't have any material.
Oh, yes, we do. Give me that stupid blanket, Linus.
Ugh!
Charlie Brown! Charlie Brown! We have something for you. Even though you lost the game, and even though you're the goat, we've made you a uniform.
Me? The loser? A uniform? It's beautiful. Tomorrow's game will be different. We'll really show them tomorrow. Where is everybody? We're supposed to have a ball game today. Don't tell me everyone stayed home because of a little rain. A little rain never hurt anybody. I don't suppose it has occurred to you that no one else may show up. Not for a second. Why are you looking at me like that? They made your uniform out of my blanket.
Well, that was fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to relive a few little bit of memories, talk about a really good movie and something that was really special to us, and listen to some fun audio. I'd say that's a good show right there.
It is indeed.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, don't forget to come back next week, and until next week, keep a pixie in your pocket, which, of course, is that young of heart and good attitude, right?
Yes.
And, of course, that way you can share it with other people. Next week, unless something happens this week, I have audio that I've been sitting on that I recorded with a panel kind of a while ago, and I've just been sitting on this audio, but I plan to share it next week, so make sure you come back next week. It'll be part one of a two-part panel that was a really fun discussion that I think I had probably back in August, and I've always had something to share.
Yeah.
Yeah, so make sure you come back next week, and until then, you know, God bless, and bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. We love to hear from you on twitter.com/neverlandpcast and facebook.com/neverlandpodcast. Leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492 and send email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Join us next week and we'll once again go to Disney and beyond. The Neverland Podcast is copyright Blue Band Productions and all original content belongs to the same. Other content is copyright of their respective creators and is used under Creative Commons license.
Good night, Neverland!
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.